Most of you know what the lectionary is, but every Sunday there's a list of three, four, five, sometimes many more than that, readings that are options to be read on Sunday morning, so you can pick out what you want to use or read them all or do whatever. But one of them was from Revelation. Debbie didn't read it this morning because I didn't call it out, but I just want to grab a piece of it because it's just so yummy. Is scripture yummy to you? This is yummy. Listen to how yummy this is. Then I saw, this is Revelation. John is viewing the vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." Ooh, yummy. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that fun? Isn't that? I just want to sit by the pool now with a cool lemonade and just celebrate God's presence. Amen? So here is that. I hadn't thought about it. You know, I've been working on my sermon all week long and hadn't even dawned on me this week. A business came up, knocked on my door and they painted my house. You know the name of the company? Alpha and Omega. Is that cool? For fun, they spelled it A-L-F-A and Omega. But Alpha and Omega print painting. I just made the connection. It was destined. It was ordained. All right. The house is painted. I have much work yet to do. All things new, I'll make all things new. But wait a minute. Wait a second. Aren't we reassured all the time that God is and was and is and will be, and God is the same and unchanging, and God is always present, the rock upon which we stand, it comfortable. God is comfortable like an old shirt. How many of you have old clothes like that you just love until there's not enough left of them to button to put back on? I have several. I'm not allowed to wear them out of the house, but remember what God said, though? And through Jesus Christ, he said, "Upon this rock I build the church." It's referring to Simon Peter, the rock. That's what Peter means, is rock. "Upon this rock I will build my church." But it's a reference. There's a song. Richard, I won't make you sing it, but there's a kid's song about the house built upon the sand. Afterwards, you go up to Richard. He will sing it for you after worth scripture. But what's the song? "All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." I can't remember the rest of the hymn. You don't want to hear it from me anyway. But this is God's house. This is God's kingdom, solid and firm. And yet, "I am making all things new." You know, that's kind of unsettling. We have a church in a building. We're keeping it up. We're maintaining it. We're sustaining things. And yet, to make all things new, that's a little unsettling. Christianity, making it all things new. Surely, that's not static. And yet, how can we be in the midst of all of this? Now, all of this, if you hadn't been paying attention, comes out of that passage in Acts. It's a fascinating passage. This is Simon Peter, and he's being questioned. Why are you meeting? Why do you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? How can that be the case? You know, you're not allowed to do that. Simon Peter is a good Jewish boy. Paul of Tarsus was a good Jewish boy, remember? Both of these, and they know the rules, they know the way the churches, the Jewish faith was traditioned, how it was built, and the rules, and that God made some things clean and other things unclean, and some groups unclean and some clean, and some practices probably unclean and some clean. And as we think about those, I've always paid a little bit of attention around the dietary stuff. Trichinosis, how many of you know what trichinosis is? That's not even, Richard, is that completely gone now? Yeah, pretty much unheard of. His family has a history with hogs. And so, I'm quizzing him, and I didn't get a chance to warn you on that. But at any rate, trichinosis is not a thing. It was in the day a terrible thing that comes from eating or pursuing anything pork. So some of these dietary restrictions were simply and straightforwardly health-related. But some had another meaning. Some of the things that you were supposed to do or not do, it was called building a fence around the gospel, around the Torah. It can't be the gospel, that's Jewish. But you build a fence around the Torah, and it means don't even be challenged. Don't even take it. Don't be around things that might challenge how you think and how you are about that. Don't approach the boundary of doing or not doing, but stay separated. Don't associate it with unclean. Don't marry people that were out of the faith. Remember the musical singing on the guy on the housetop? Fiddler on the Roof. It took me a while to get there, didn't it? I'm getting older and older, you know, and the things you have to make associations and get there. But his daughters, you recall, he's trying to figure out how to be in a new time and a new place. And his one daughter wants to marry someone who's not Jewish. And he's trying to be open about it, but no, he can't quite allow that. And so there's a separation. Kind of a sad spot there, and a realization that the boundaries of the Judaish faith were such that prevented some of that interaction. And yet, you know what? Do you remember that place where Jesus takes the disciples and he lines them up two by two and he says, go out into the world. He doesn't say, stay within your boundaries, stay within your clan, don't associate with those others. He does just the opposite. Don't even take enough food to get by on. You have to depend upon others, the generosity of those you meet, responding to your love and care. Go out into the world, offer Christ. It's a new way of being. It's a way of stepping outside of the boundaries about doing things and associating beyond a limited horizon. I went straight into college, straight out of high school, and after 3 years of college, I was just really ready to be done with school. So I quit. I was 3 years out of a four-year degree, and I said, that's enough. I'm just... And I found a job working construction. I was handy with my hands anyway. I'd built things with my dad and what have you. So, well, building houses. And if any of you have been around the construction industry or a construction people, they can be a little salty. We're going to use that polite phrase. They have a wonderfully colorful way of describing the world and the people in the world. And it didn't take too long for me being around them. I could really get right in there. I could cuss with the best of them if I wanted to. And it was interesting to be in that midst. And I worked with one guy. He could not complete a single sentence without including a cuss word. And at some point, we were sitting down having lunch, and I said, Tom, are you aware that you use a cuss word in every sentence? And he says, oh, I blankety-blank don't. And his eyes got a little bit wide. He says, well, I blankety-blank, and his eyes got a little bit bigger. And the whole rest of the day, he was wandering around muttering to himself. He was so, it was so enculturated, I guess is the word there. It was what he was about and how he was. Now, it would have been easy for me to have stayed in construction and adopted that, and maybe I would have been as colorful as they were. But I got called, a friend of mine from college called me and says, hey, I want to hire you to come back and finish your last year of college. I'll pay you as a teacher at the college to come to college. Yes, I did. They didn't have to twist my arm too terribly much. But at any rate, I don't regret those years in construction, because if I'm around people like that, I can get right along with them and be fine. Now, if people don't know I'm a preacher when we first met, they might have colorful language. And then they find out that I'm a preacher, and they say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. And they become about half mute because all of a sudden they can't talk like they normally would because they're talking around a preacher. They don't know that background of mine, that I know all of the language and the history. And in fact, my having spent a year doing that, I can speak their language. I don't have to be profane, but I know the lingo. I know the way they think. I know the jokes they tell and the way they tease each other. That's that Pentecost thing, and the Spirit gave me utterance to speak, and the people hear in their own language. That's what this is about. Christianity is about being out there and being in the midst of them and sharing with them and being open with them. So this thing about Christianity is new. It was a big change for them. So the unchangingness of God is true. God doesn't change, but humanity has grown and changed. I remember when I was in first grade, I really got occupied with how to make a period at the end of a sentence. And finally, the teachers took me aside and said, it does not have to be that big. She said, just a little dot works for a period. Don't overdo it. So I learned, well, I didn't have to worry about how I wrote a period by the time I was in college. I was at another step in my development. Humanity's like that. We had to have the basic steps when we were young, and now we're growing, and now we're becoming. I am making all things new, God says. All things new, and upon this rock, the solidness of Christ, the solidness of God in our midst, there is new life. And there will be new life. We fret and stew about our church, the number of people that go to church. The percentage of population in the United States has declined steadily. There's a hint that it might be leveling off and might be starting to come back up. We're curious about that. Sociologists have been positing, and all of them have different opinions for why and how and where it's going, and nobody knows, but they're all positing their ideas. But there's been a decline in church attendance. Because maybe it's time for something new that's going to be coming. What's it going to be? Oh, I have anxiety. I don't know. Will I be ready? Do I have the tools to fit into that? Is our facility, where are we going? What are we about? This new thing with the doing videos during worship service and people attending church virtually. It's all so unnerving. These new things unsettle us, but God is still God. And God is this solid rock upon which we can stand. What are we going to do? I don't know for sure. I know a few things. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. okay, I can do that. That's stability I can depend upon. That's the solid rock that's okay. The rest of it might be unnerving, might cause me some discomfort. But if we're about loving one another, we're going to be okay. God is good. All the time, God is good.